Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house that He has provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. As I know, everyone is aware, tomorrow is Labor Day. So that I prepared the theme of my sermon with labor as the topic. And this morning I shall be talking about answering God's help wanted poster and working for Him. And our text this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 33 through 35. And I invite you to open your Bibles or use one on the pew rack in front of you and follow along as I read Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. If you think about it, Labor Day is a strange holiday. Although it's called Labor Day, most of us won't work or labor on Labor Day. We don't expect to. We have a day off. Nobody has wished me happy Labor Day. I didn't get any Labor Day cards. Connie and I didn't decorate the house for Labor Day. We didn't exchange Labor Day gifts. Somehow the florist and the card manufacturers have not found a way to make a big profit off of Labor Day. It's poor attendance Sunday at most churches, although we have a wonderful crowd here this morning, because people want to get that last weekend of travel before school really starts in earnest. And you know, Labor Day means different things to different people. As I said, to many office and factory workers, Labor Day means perhaps a day off. For policemen who must deal with extra traffic and alcohol abuse, it's a tough day, a day of stress quite often. To farmers and ranchers, it's just another day to feed the cattle and work the field. For preachers, it's an opportunity for us to talk about labor and work. Because, you know, work is an important part of God's will for His people. Now, claiming there are many problems facing the church today would be a huge, huge understatement. However, there is one problem which has plagued and infected and infested the body of Christ for a number of years. The greatest problem facing Christians today, in my opinion, is not the gang problem. It's not the drug dealer. It's not the lack of morals among our young people. It's not the sin found outside of the church. The greatest problem facing Christians today is not what is occurring on the outside of the church. The greatest problem is not what is occurring inside the church. And as society, unfortunately, Christians have adopted the mindset of the Laodicean church, which was neither hot nor cold concerning the things of God. Members of the church at Laodicea were in such a state that Jesus said he would literally spit them out of his mouth. They were lukewarm regarding the work of the kingdom of the Lord. And lukewarm churches have rapidly increased in the last 40 years, and I firmly believe that that grieves God's heart, that we are neither hot nor cold, but merely lukewarm. We sing standing on the promises, and yet we sit in the pews. We sing, serve the Lord with gladness, and then we complain when the nominating committee asks us to perform a service. So we need to change our mindset about God's church. God desires His church to move from a state of survival to a state of revival. And this same survival mentality is in the kingdom work which is performed by members of God's church. As workers for the Lord, we must move from a state of existence to a state of persistence on behalf of God. We are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And because of our lukewarm attitude towards God's work, we are finding many, many churches are dying, are closing their doors because of lack of people in the pews. Many churches which are still open today have nowhere near the attendance they did in the late 40s and early 50s. And in order for us to be a successful worker for the Lord, there are several concepts that we must embrace. Jesus points out in our text that there is a task which needs to be done. There are workers who are needed to fulfill the task. People are needed to get their hands dirty for the cause of Jesus Christ. In today's world, you know, everybody is looking for somebody. Medical schools are looking for medical students and scientists who graduated at the top of their class. Corporations are looking for college graduates with marketable skills. The Marines are looking for the few and the proud. The Army are looking for those who want to be the best they can be. The Navy is looking for those who want more than a job but an adventure. The Air Force is looking for those who desire to aim higher. Everybody is looking for somebody. And in these perilous times and living conditions, and because there is so much to be accomplished for the Lord, our text informs us that God also is looking for somebody. He has a help wanted sign in His window. He's looking for someone who is willing to help harvest the lost, to go into the fields and gather those souls who need Him and who don't know Him as Lord and Savior. He's looking for someone who is willing to labor in His kingdom. The help-wanted sign for the Lord is constantly blinking. Well, what constitutes a willing laborer for God? What separates such a worker from everyone else? How do we make sure that we are doing our part to move God's kingdom from the seats to the streets? The text gives us 3 points to consider as we seek to reach others for the Lord. And the first point is, recognize the task before us. We know there are a lack of workers. In verse 37 in our text, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And we know what the task is, or we should recognize what the task is, because Jesus says right there, "The harvest is plentiful." The type of work to be done is the harvest of souls who are lost, to bring them into the fold, to bring them in to God's kingdom as a child of His. And if you ask Mr. Hudson, he will tell you that harvesting is performed in the fields. It's not performed inside. So we must go outside these four walls, and we must carry God's message to our fellow workers, to our friends, to those that we meet by accident maybe once in our lifetime. We need to get off of our blessed assurances and go into the highways and go into the hedges and implore every man, woman, boy, and girl to accept Christ as their Savior. But the problem is we are more concerned with church work than we are with kingdom work. We're so concerned with the work we do in this building, which God has provided for us, that we forget about the work that He commanded us to do, to go therefore into all nations, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. We must recognize that the harvest is kingdom work. It is not church work. And we must recognize that if we're going to work for God, it's full-time employment. Too many people think God, working for God means you work on Sunday from 9:45 to 12 noon and maybe, just maybe, an hour on Wednesday. Yet the Bible instructs us that Satan, our adversary, is like a roaring lion who prowls around looking for someone to devour. He's always on the lookout for his prey. Satan never takes a holiday, not even on Labor Day. So a laborer for the Lord must always be prepared to share the plan of salvation when the opportunity presents itself in the workplace, at school, or just in general conversation. It must be seized immediately and acted upon. God is searching for willing workers. The help wanted sign is blinking. And if you are a willing worker in the kingdom of the Lord, we must recognize the task and we must also rely upon the qualifications that we already have. God's word doesn't say that once we are saved that we will be trained to do evangelistic work, that we will be given new skills. Now granted, many churches, and as included, try to teach us how to go and witness, had to present the message, the plan of salvation to others. But we must rely upon the qualifications we already possess. Well, how are we qualified? The Apostle Paul tells us that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. Paul's saying there's something different about us from a non-Christian. We've been called out of that darkness of sin into the light of salvation by our belief in Jesus as our Savior. And because of this calling, we have a new responsibility to go into the fields and participate in the harvest ourselves. We are to instruct others in the Word of God, not just through teaching, but also by example. We are to allow our light to shine before men, that they may see our good deeds and praise God. Our light needs to shine clearly into the darkness of depravity of humanity, so that others may see in us the example that Jesus set when He walked this earth 2,000 years ago. We qualify as workers for God because we are a chosen people, and we also are qualified because of our experience in the field. Since we have been saved, we can relate to the people in the field. We have been redeemed by the Savior's precious blood, and we can relate to those who are standing in the field. Unbelievers, unsaved. We need to go and share that message. with them. An experience of sharing your faith with someone else will also give you a spiritual reward you cannot believe. Those of you who have led people to Christ know what it is to have that feeling in your heart and in your mind that you have shown somebody the light and they have accepted the gift that God offers to them. And lastly, the Lord wants willing laborers who will genuinely engage in God's work. Genuinely. Meaning you not only talk the talk, you walk the walk. You do it in truth. You do it because you believe it. Not because you think it's something used to do by rote. Something that'll look good to others. You do it because you are genuinely saved and you genuinely want others to know this gift of salvation. Because God harvested us, we are qualified and responsible to bring others to His kingdom. Paul urges the church at Rome to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And if you read that letter to the church at Rome, you get the sense, the feeling that Paul sees such act of worship, such service, such deed of service is a logical one for kingdom workers. And the question might be, Paul, why do you think it's a logical step for us to give our all in all and genuinely engage in the work for the kingdom? And I believe his answer would be found in 1 Corinthians, where he writes, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor your God with your body." As we genuinely engage in the work of the kingdom of God as a laborer, as we give our all in all and serve the Master, we learn that He is able to use us. I know there are many of you, just like I, that never dreamed when you became a Christian that God would use you for His purposes, to advance His kingdom, to share His message with others. And it was quite a surprise, pleasant surprise, when you realize that God is using me. I have qualifications to be a worker in the fields, to harvest those lost souls. And God is able to use us for His glory, so that others may be brought into the kingdom. The harvest is plentiful, yet the laborers are few. God wants to know today who is willing to labor for Him, who is willing to win souls for Jesus. And when we willingly and genuinely engage in the work of laboring in God's kingdom, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, and that Spirit gives us power to minister to all types of people according to God's will. And most importantly, God gives us the power to witness even to the ends of the earth. We have the power to tell a dying world about a living Jesus. And you ask me how I know He lives. I know He lives because He lives within me today. Because once I was lost deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, and Jesus reached out His loving hand and grabbed mine and pulled me from eternal death. Thank God for sending us Jesus to give us that gift of salvation. The question is, if you have been harvested yourself, if you have been saved, are you working in the harvest fields for Jesus? Have you answered His help wanted request? Are you doing all you can do to genuinely engage in God's work, to use the talents you have, to recognize that your job is not necessarily teaching Sunday school here or serving as a deacon. They are important parts of serving God, but our job is kingdom work. Work where we go out and harvest those who don't know Him as Savior. And if you've been touched by the Holy Spirit in the last day or month or hour or last 10 minutes, and you want to be a worker for the Lord, you want to answer that help wanted ad, we extend an invitation for you to come and share that with us this morning, that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, that you have been harvested, and we will pray with you and for you. And we invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation, Jesus Calls Us Over the Tumult, hymn number 293.